Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle with me, and we are welcoming back to the show. It's actually been a while since we've heard from her, but welcome back to the show, Mimo Anima. Welcome back, Mimo.
Hello.
Is this episode going to be titled Knives Out or No Holds Barred or
what?
I was thinking we'd call it the roast because, you know, someone's turning 50 this week. So.
Yeah, I didn't. Not this week.
Okay, it's the end of we're recording this at the end of the week.
Yeah. But
so next week. Within a week,
there we go.
He will be turning 50. So we had to bring on Mimo so we could roast Kyle because he's turning 50.
Yep, that's what the whole episode is.
Half a century.
Actually, maybe we shouldn't even call him Kyle anymore. Maybe we should call him Executive Pastor Kyle. Forgot to talk about that last week, too.
You just call me sir.
Great boss.
Somebody said, your pastor's wife. And I was like, oh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that will end all the awkward silence. But thanks for coming on again, Mimo. We actually asked Mimo to come on, and she's going to help us recap a little bit of the retreat. Last week, we had Blake come on, mm-hmm. and he shared his perspective. So we wanted to get, you know, a little bit more well-rounded perspective as well. So we asked Mimo to come on, and she always has a lot of cool stuff to talk about. So Mimo, how was retreat for you?
It was good. I was really happy to that Pastor Sam was our speaker, and he carried on the conversation about the will. So I thought that was really good. I think we had a really good small group time where people were able to share and kind of ask questions and encourage each other and pray for each other. And so I thought that was really good.
Really? That's all you got? It was really good?
Okay.
All right. We talk about Knives Out. Sheesh, Kyle.
Well, the one thing that our group had a lot of questions about was about the abandoned will. Mm-hmm. So I thought that would be something, because I think our group was not the only one that had questions about it. So I thought that might be good to kind of talk about.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit confusing because Pastor Sam used different terminology than Pastor Barry had the 3 weeks leading up to the retreat. So I think, abandoned, I understand why he chose that word, and there's some good with it. But, yeah, it does, you can't throw people off. So it really is like passive. To me, passive is the word that resonates with me.
Yeah, the way that Pastor Barry had described it earlier was under-functioning, mm-hmm. right? So it's an under-functioning will. So if we look at the will as our ability to make choices, right, an under-functioning will is just the choice. It's hard to use that word, right? Choice not to make a choice, mm-hmm. right? So it's us actually deciding, you know, I'm going to just be passive about it, let someone else make the choices all the time, or you know, sometimes we can even do that with the Lord, right? Okay, it's God's plan, so I'm just going to do whatever he wants us to do.
Which means I don't have to do anything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. which a lot of times means I don't have to do anything. Or I just wait, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of choosing to, I mean, sometimes it's even choosing to seek the Lord to hear his voice on mm-hmm. what is actually going to do, or we should do, right? So even that, you know, can look at like an under-functioning will, which, you know, we talked about this on a few different episodes. I really like that terminology, under functioning, just because it's easy to understand what it looks like for us when it comes to our will.
I think because the world is, I'll hear people say, oh, I would just check it up to the universe, or, oh, it's karma, or that kind of saying is prevalent. So I think it's easy for us Christians to also kind of be dismissive of our authority and responsibilities that we have as Christ followers and just say, oh, whatever, like it's God's going to provide or God's going to do, you know, whatever. Just like not take responsibility for what God wants us to do as far as like choosing his will. So that's what I was trying to kind of explain.
Yeah, I think the underfunctioning, overfunctioning is very helpful because they're like opposite sides. And then with Pastor Barry's diagram, there's the healthy functioning is in the middle. It's in between that. So you need to have some functioning of your will. So it's there's a healthy level of functioning. And so the abandoned part is really going to maybe you haven't given up every aspect of it, but you tend to go that direction more often.
Yeah, Mimo in our prep kind of shared a story about finances and about how sometimes, you know, especially as a Christian, it's like, oh, I've heard, you know, God's will, God's bill, right? So instead of trying to take responsibility for our finances, it's just like, okay, God's going to provide everything, so I don't have to worry about it. I can just, you know, spend what I want to spend or do what I want to do because God's going to cover me. He's going to provide. But that's not
biblical.
Yeah, that's not that's not a good stewardship of right. of what God has provided for us. And so, you know, I think that's a easy example for us to think about in terms of how we can abandon that choice, because then it's like, oh, it's just easier for us to not take responsibility for it, because then we don't have to worry about making the right choices when it comes to our finances. It's just like, oh, well, God's going to provide, so everything's going to be okay. But really, the Lord wants us to be good stewards of our finances, good stewards of our time, good stewards of our choices. And so it is important for us to have a healthy functioning will that's submitted to the Lord so that we can walk the way that he wants us to walk.
Yeah, because stewards have responsibilities. Like they're not passive. They actually have a role to play. And then I think contrasting that with an overfunctioning will where you're hyper vigilant about everything, every dollar, every cent, every bill, and you're trying to exert your control over everything, then that's the opposite side where it's all about you and nothing's going to get done unless you have control and you take the reins. So that's the other side of the coin.
Yeah, because sometimes the Lord might ask us to do something that doesn't make sense with our finances. And really, he knows what's going to happen, but we need to be submitted in those times too to be able to say, this might not make sense in my own will or in my own thinking or in my own emotions, but this is what the Lord wants me to do, so I'm going to do it, right? So that's where someone that might be over-functioning, that might be very difficult for them to do because it's like, oh, that doesn't make sense or that doesn't feel right.
Or it doesn't fit my plan. Yeah.
But if the Lord's plan is different or bigger, then yeah, it'll turn out.
Well, I know another topic or aspect of the retreat that you brought up, Mimo, is like the mini habits, and like small choices and building momentum, things like that. You said you've been hearing that either in just different discussions, different podcasts. So what's your idea on that, and what do you want, or what have you seen for yourself in the mini habits aspect, and what do you kind of hope for the listeners to gain from that?
I think I've heard a lot of people talking about habits. It's in our own small group and also small group during the retreat too. We talked about habits a lot, and then Pastor Barry's been talking about habits, and he's taught a class on mini habits before too. So I feel like I'm hearing that a lot, and also different podcasts I've been listening to, books I'm reading. It's interesting that it just, once you know how, like when you see a certain car or you buy a certain car and you feel like you see the same car all over the place, and where you didn't notice it before, it's kind of like that. Now that it's on my mind, I feel like I see the I hear or I see habits a lot, and I think it's very applicable to our Christian lives, with habits of praying and reading the Bible and things like that, and like really aligning our, if we want to align our lives and our spirit to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit, there are little things that we can do that will really help us live aligned to him. So like, you know, even if it's little time spent, like if I only pray for like 5 minutes or even less, like, but if we do it every day and just makes it into like our daily habit, it will get easier and easier as we go longer too. But it's just like actually starting it. So
And I think, yeah, that ties in with the diagram that Pastor Barry had as well, where that expands our connection with the Holy Spirit then. So those little things, little amounts consistently then expand that, the connection that we have with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was interesting too. So after Pastor Barry gave his sermon on the will and talking about the difference between starting a new habit that's good versus ending a bad habit. Mm. It was funny because I actually started hearing people talking about that a lot and actually trying it. Mm. And they were like, yeah, it really is a lot easier to quit a bad habit than it is to start a new habit, because to stop a bad habit, you just got to do nothing. Mm-hmm. Right. And so just even that mind shift of like thinking it's not hard to quit a bad habit, like that changed something for some people that I was talking to. They're like, yeah, I didn't realize that just doing nothing, it actually helps me to stop doing the bad habit. Mm. So, I thought that was a really cool point that Pastor Barry made that actually has brought life to people, because as they were stepping into it, they're like, oh, I tried to quit this bad thing and it was not hard. But then I started trying to do this new thing and that was actually really hard. Mm. So, yeah, even just thinking like that, it was like, whoa, this is just people trying to apply Pastor Barry's message, Pastor Sam's messages. It's been really cool to see our church trying to step into applying the things that they've been hearing and having some of these discussions. It's like, whoa, this is really cool.
Yeah, I like the fact that I've been able to talk to different people and discuss different people the topics, like that started with awe of God, really, I feel like, because there were a lot of questions that were raised from reading that book. So like from that on, and people like just asking each other, like, what does this mean? Do you know what that, like, you know, just like, or like, do you agree with this? Or do you, you know? So I think that just started us being more open to talking to each other about questions that we had. So that just carried on with Pastor Barry doing the trichotomy of the, you know, with his soul. Will and soul.
Body,
and,
soul, spirit.
Yes. And then that carrying on throughout the 3 weeks that he did the messages and then to the retreat. And then I think going forward, it's good that people are still talking about it. It wasn't just like once and done, but it's an ongoing conversation that we can carry on.
All right. I got the head nod. I guess it's me.
Well, you looked like you had something to say. So I was just like, go ahead.
But I can take us a different direction if you want, or do you have something else you want to share?
No, you can go.
So to me, I think it highlights the influence that we have from just living in this world. So I'm preparing to speak in a few weeks. So I'm doing some digging in and a little bit of research on what the world is and the world system. And really the influence that it has over us just in our daily lives and the way technology is used, the way behaviors are. And it's sad how easily we're shaped by it. And I think that's this series and the awe of God especially kind of was like a little bit of a shaking of like, hey, how are you seeing things? And then this part with the body, soul, spirit, especially when we got to the will part, it's like, well, how are you letting your will be shaped and formed and dictated by just the world and its standards? Or are you actually letting God shape that? So I thought it's eye-opening, but at the same time, it's like, it's kind of frustrating. And for myself, just seeing it like, and knowing that influence is there, but I guess the frustrating part is that it's not something that's easily overcome. It's just a constant grind that you have to kind of have a resistance to what's being pushed on us from the world.
So like you're saying, you know, like the bad habits, sometimes it's not just as easy as saying don't do it, because there's constant like reinforcement of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that.
Yeah. I think it's like just societal norms and pressures. They're not aligned with God. I mean, they're aligned with like Satan is the prince of this world. So his ways are influencing the world in a strong way. And so just to be a Christian and stand up for Christian values and Christian disciplines, like you were talking mm-hmm. about, just the simple things, it goes, it's counterculture.
Yeah.
And even, you know, technology with our phones, it's like, yeah, but we can do everything faster now.
Mm-hmm.
But that's good in a lot of ways, but in our time with God, faster is not better. It's not that we mm-hmm. have to get more done. It's like, what level of intimacy and depth does it have? And I think that's not a value anymore in our society. So then to fight against that and actually try to push into more depth, it's like, oh my gosh, we're so conditioned to now speed, efficiency. And I'm more wired that way too. So mm-hmm. then it feeds into like how I'm wired. So I'm like, oh shoot, this is hard. It's just a struggle.
Like the multitasking, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so I think that's what makes it hard sometimes for us to sit down and spend time with God, because it's, we're not multitasking. We're really focusing on just, for me, like if I want to practice silence, it's hard to just sit still and be silent because I have all these thoughts that come into my head of like, oh, things that I need to, like a list of things that I need to get done, or I'll just wander off to thinking about something else, or like an argument I had with a kid or with Kyle or whatever. Like,
never.
So like, I think that's the hard part. Like you said, our brain has been conditioned to multitask, or we think we're multitasking and doing all these things. So it's hard to focus on one thing. And I think we have been conditioned to have a difficult time focusing on one thing and do one thing well. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to go into the science aspect of it, right? It's like we've been learning that, you know, there's a dopamine hit that comes from mm-hmm. being on our phones or doing multiple things, and our body gets accustomed to that, and then it starts craving that. And so it's trying to find ways to get more of that. And so when we have to slow down and we're not getting that, our body is saying, wait, where did that go? I want that again. I want that again, right? And so, you know, that can flush itself out. Yes, I'm using the word flush on purpose, but it can flush itself out in a variety of things, right? So for some people, it might be drug addictions. For some people, it might be screen addiction. For some people, it might be other things, right? So, but it's really coming from the same place, right? And so one of the things that I felt like Pastor Sam kept not hammering home, but he kept repeating over again was that
he had some hammering going on. It was good.
But he kept saying that, you know, the flesh and the spirit are at odds with each other, mm-hmm. right? And so that's one of the things that I feel like the enemy tries to do, is he tries to align the world in a way that attracts and draws our flesh,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right? Because our flesh is at odds with the spirit, right? And so because it's so attractive to our flesh, the things of the world, then it's easy for us to, especially if we have an abandoned will and we're not able to choose to align ourselves with the Lord, just to fall in with the patterns of the world, mm-hmm. right? And so that's also where, you know, our Romans 12 passage comes in, which talks about do not conform to the patterns mm-hmm. of this world, but be transformed, because we do need a renewed mind. We do need to recognize that the ways of the world are at odds with the ways of the spirit and what the Lord wants, because our flesh is totally drawn to that mm-hmm. because it is also at odds with the spirit. Mm-hmm. So I thought that's, you know, him consistently bringing that out, that our flesh is at odds with the spirit. I felt like that kind of hit home for me pretty deep. And so we do need to have a strong enough will where we can say, no, I'm not going to choose to just follow my flesh or follow the world, but I'm going to choose to submit to the Lord.
Isn't it interesting how, like, because the way the algorithms are set up now with, like, social media, like, it will lead you to see things that will control your emotions or direct your emotions in a certain way. So, like, let's say I'm watching something that evokes, like, an angry feeling. Like, they'll keep showing me things. So I'll get even more and more and more and more mad. So then, like, by the time I'm off my phone or something and I have to work with my kids or take care of them, I'm already, like, worked up and fired up. So I'm not, like...
Or interact with your husband.
Yeah, or, okay. I'm just going to say my kids.
I thought we brought Mimo on to roast you, Kyle, not the other way around.
So, like, you know, like, I'm already worked up and, like, angry at the world. Not angry at my kids, but I'm angry at the world. So my patience is already challenged. So if my kids will make, like, a simple little mistake in my eyes, maybe it's just, like, maybe appropriate mistake for the age that they're at, that they're learning how to, let's say, like, tie a shoelace or something, but they can't do it. But I'm already so stressed out from, like, whatever I watched on the screen that's making me mad. So then I'm, like, short with my kid. I'm taking out I'm displacing this anger onto the kid. So it's, like, it's hard.
And it doesn't even have to be just social media, too. Right. So, okay, so I'm going to throw myself under right now, but... So this week, you know, my son who likes this video game was like, "Hey, Dad, why don't you play this video game with me?" Right. So I was like, "Okay, I'll put it on my phone. It's something that we can do together." It's my justification, right? Like, okay, it's something that we can do together. He's really trying to get me to do it. So I put this, and in the past, I've had a rule for myself because I know how I can get. So my rule was like, I'll only have one game on my phone at a time, right? So. Okay, so I put this game on my phone, and then I played way too much. But I was trying to justify. I was like, okay, he's way far in front of me, so I need to catch up. So I need to get there. But then at the end of the day, I realized, like, oh, I don't feel very good, right? And I used all these different ways to justify, like, being able to play. Like, I need to catch up, or he asked me to do it, or we're going to play together, da 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 da. But then, so... At the end of the day, I was just like, wow, this doesn't make me feel like, not necessarily good about myself, but just good in general, like extra tired, like kind of like you were saying, like I wasn't as patient, or I was like, yeah, just it wasn't a good thing. So I was like, okay, I need to put the boundaries back up just because it's better for me personally to experience the world in a better way. Because yeah, I was not interacting with the world well after a day of playing video games. Okay, I wasn't playing the video games the whole day, but yeah, it was on my mind
A
bit.
You stopped for lunch.
I stopped for lunch, and I stopped to do some work a little bit, but it just, yeah, just, it was on my mind, or trying to catch up, or, yeah, and all this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like, okay, it was just one day, but it just showed me, again, like, how easy it is to abandon my will and just go with what feels okay in the moment, and, yeah, it was just it wasn't a wasted day, but it was just a highlight of kind of what we're talking about right now.
Especially when you partner it with justifications, right? Then you can find ways to make it seem appropriate, okay, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think what you said earlier, Damon, was relevant to about stewardship. Because really, we are called to be stewards. And I think a lot of times it gets used in the realm of finances. But we're called to be stewards of our time, of our relationships, so our emotional capacity and things like that, too. So if we're using them up in ways like video games and just scrolling or whatever, and then that takes away the capacity, and not just the total capacity, but the quality that's available. But I think it's interesting because I was thinking of this when you were sharing earlier, Mimo, about silence, right? And your mind's thinking about all these other things. So then you can go to like the justification phase of like, oh, but I could be doing this right now. I could be doing this. And you can justify like, I want more efficiency because that's kind of like the way the world wires us. But then it also has the same thing in the finances. Well, I could tithe because that's what God asks us to do, or I could use that money better this way. Or I could. So then you can justify your stewardship or lack thereof because you can base it on worldly standards, or you can base it on the way God wants us to operate.
I guess turning a little bit, but I know a lot of the youth did fasting of some sort or detox of some sort.
Wow, I'm surprised you actually used the word fasting.
I guess it was more of a, I think it was mostly digital detox is what they did. Is that
well,
what it
they,
is?
I think they chose to do digital detox, but they chose to abstain from something, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to use your correct language, Mimo. They chose to abstain from something. So, but, and most of them chose to digital detox. Mm-hmm. of some sort.
Yeah. So I'm curious to hear from the youth, like if now that the, because they were like detoxing it, I guess, from or abstaining from it until the retreat.
So it's pretty much the whole month of August, right?
I think so.
It started on the first Friday.
Yeah, first Friday of August till the retreat.
Retreat. So yeah, pretty much the whole month. You're right. I'm curious to hear if, you know, what their consumption has been when they got back at the retreat or after the retreat, whenever they kind of were okay to start again. Because I don't know, like, my hope is that it would have shown people that, oh, I don't really need this, or I don't miss it, or I can, I actually am able to abstain or not use the whatever avenue you're using for to fill time and be okay. So I'm curious.
I think to me the biggest thing is just that there's awareness, because what was that medium feeling? Like what void was it feeling? Was it a loneliness? Was it just boredom? Was it, you know, what were you using that for? And I know we talked to one of our sons, and it was like, oh, he gave his reason that he saw why he was gravitating towards some YouTube, I think, and it made sense. I'm like, oh, I think it was important for him to recognize it. But now, what do you do with that recognition, and how do you help that to shape how you behave in the future? And I think that's just part of the maturing process. I mean, I get it. We see where we're at, and we know where it would be good if he took the next steps. But I think he has to wrestle with it at his own pace and be able to own it. But I was happy that he actually recognized the kind of emotion or the thing that why he was using it.
I had a funny conversation with one of my kids that did it. After the retreat, we're like driving home, and I'll just say more than one of my kids did digital detox.
Okay, so we can't single out.
But one of them was like, "Oh, I can watch YouTube now, but it feels really weird. I don't know how it's going to be to watch it again." And I said, "You don't have to. Just because you can doesn't mean you have to." Yeah. Like, oh, I kind of didn't think about it like that, right? So I think for that child, it was kind of like, oh, it was off limits, and then now it's back on, so I could go back to the way it was before. But it was just kind of sharing with them, no, you don't. Just because it's back on doesn't mean that you should just go back to the consumption that it was before.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was an interesting conversation.
Yeah. And thinking of like, so the time you're, I guess, kind of saving, not watching YouTube or whatever, you know, you're abstaining from, like, what do you do with that time, right? How can we use it? How can we, like we might have an hour or 2 hours. I don't know how many hours, you know, but.
Well, I just had the thought. It's kind of interesting. We're talking about this with the relating to the youth, right? Because that's what they just did. But I'm like, well, there's a lot of adults that have the same issue, because really it's a maturity issue, and some areas of adults' lives aren't mature to the level they want it to be. So then it's they're really in the same boat of, okay, what am I using to fill whatever emotional gap I have, or what wounding, or just my abandoned will, and different for different areas. But for the listeners that are in that boat, it's a challenge for you to say, okay, I want to take a season and abstain. I want to take a season and strengthen my will, or align my will. Because if your will is too strong, then that's not healthy either. But I say that to myself too, because I have areas where I'm like, oh, shoot, I have weaknesses and, I don't know, gaps.
You're not supposed to have weaknesses. You're executive pastor now. You can't have any weaknesses.
I'm supposed to project that I do so that I can be humble. And come on, Damon. Good grief.
I'm just trying to.
I know.
I told you this was
going to
be the. I told you this was going to be the roasting episode. So I'm just trying to, you know, keep it real.
But you know, it's like
I'm not just talking about it. Trying to be about it. This is the roasting episode.
It's for you, Brett. It's for you, buddy.
It's funny because it's much easier to scroll through different things or watch a YouTube video than reading a book. But reading a book does slow us down, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm able to pause. I mean, I guess you can do that with podcasts or videos or whatever. But when I'm reading a book, I can pause and think about what I just read. I guess I do that with podcasts. I'll pause and I'll think about what I just heard. But anyway, reading is easier that way. But because we're so ingrained to like do things faster and get things done quicker, so we want to get through things as quickly as possible. So like it's harder to slow down and take time to read. But it really, I think, does something to our brain where we do slow down. And when we do get our input, it helps us to process things better when we're slower.
Yeah, I think if that's something that you struggle with, the digital detox aspect of it, one of the things that I think has helped me is actually going for a walk, right? And not taking my phone, not taking anything else with me, because then it's a total change of scenery, but then also you don't have like access to the screen. And so you know, the first couple of times it might be very difficult to do, but as you keep doing it, it actually gets easier and easier and easier. So, you know, I feel like sometimes it is hard just to stay in the same situation and say, I'm not going to do it. Right. So if you're sitting at home on the couch, it's like, okay, I'm not going to be on my phone. That's where it really feels like a battle. But, you know, if you're doing something different, like go for a 5-minute walk and then see if that changes anything. I think for me personally, that has shifted a lot. And it's actually made me more efficient in some of the things that I've been doing too. So just taking that break totally from the screen. And I know that that is good for me. And I know that the enemy will attack me in that area and try to make it so that I don't have the time to do that or don't think about it. And then I can tell the difference at the end of the day when I don't have that.
When I go for a walk and I actually stop and smell flowers, I know it sounds...
Mimo literally stops and smells the roses.
I do.
Every time you pass a rose.
Plumeria or, you know. But seriously, there's something to... Like, it really connects us to our senses, right? Because we're not just brains. We have other... Like, we have our body. God made us our body. Jesus was... in a human body, like he felt, he touched, he smelled, he, you know, tasted. So we have to, when we're in a too much of a hurry, we take those things for granted. So like when I'm walking and I see a beautiful, so I with my sight, I notice something beautiful. Then in with my nose, I smell something really pretty. So like it just, we need to have those things in our lives where it grounds us. Like look at little kids, like they're always picking up grass. They're always like doing something, you know, like they haven't been jaded by the world per se, like of screens where everything's just like on a screen or something. But like it's real, like grass is real, rocks are real, bugs are real, you know, like just kind of go back to the basics.
Giant spiders are real.
Yes, giant spiders are real.
I think so. It's funny.
The only way for you to see the Mimo versus the giant spider is on a screen, but you can ask her about that later.
No, it's funny because like when every time we're on a walk and you stop and smell a flower, my reason I don't, I'm like, I don't want allergies. I don't want to sniff and they get like pollen. So I'm like, no, okay. It is nice that you stop and then it makes me stop and look at it. But I'm like, yeah, I don't, but maybe... Maybe I'll try to expand, just not take such a deep breath.
All right, so I have another funny story. So one time when this was probably, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, but I was at my parents' house, and for some reason, they asked me to walk the dog. And so they had this black lab, right? And so I went to walk the dog, and... the dog kept stopping everywhere to smell the flowers, right? And I'm like, hurry up. We need to go. Like, and then I really felt like the Lord say, why do you think that you're right in this situation? Like, yes, you want to get back home. You want it, you know, you have the path that you're supposed to walk the dog. And yes, you want to get home quick. But why do you think you're right? Why do you think the dog is not right? And you're the one trying to get the dog to do what you want to do. Like, maybe you should learn from the dog and you should slow down and sniff the flowers or take a break or pee on the sign. Wait,
maybe not that far.
All right, I'm just trying to lighten this episode up a little bit, but yeah. So I really felt like the Lord is saying, like, you think you're right in the situation, mm-hmm. but you need check yourself. So
yeah, it's good.
After that, I was like, okay, I need to slow down. I need to try to enjoy the walk with the dog and being outside. And it's like, okay. And it turned out to be really good, but it was really hard.
I have those thoughts with me most sometimes. What? I'm like, but especially if there's like multiple houses close by with flowers, I'm like, we're stopping again? Like, all right, okay. But
all right, Kyle. But now I'm this more is the voice of God, Kyle. No. You're not right.
Now I'm more used to it.
Why do you think you're right?
No, now I'm more used to it, and I'm like, okay, it's not an inconvenience. It's like, yeah.
Maybe now that you're older, you actually stop and enjoy the flowers.
So after next week, I can smell the flowers. Mm-hmm. I can't for another 7 days. All right.
Well, you'll slow down for another reason, and it's not of your choosing.
Yeah, I have to get back and use the bathroom or something. Who knows?
Okay, that's good.
You want to lighten the episode? I can lighten all you want. I'm a pastor. Come on, bro.
What does being a pastor have to do with
I don't know. Lightening I'm just trying, I'm just trying to throw that in there. All right. Bring us home, Damon. Where are we going
bring
from here?
Bring us home. We still got like 25 minutes left.
Man.
Just kidding. We can go as long as we want. We don't have to be stuck to a certain time.
Yeah, right? Time doesn't matter. Come on, smell the flowers. Let's go. Where are we going next? That's what I'm asking.
I think we should ask Mimo, because you know, it has been a while since she's been on, and I always feel like the Lord is speaking to her, talking to her, and I think it'd be good for her to share some of the things that have been on her heart with our congregation and all the people that are listening.
Okay, so I have an idea, and I don't know when we'll do it, and it has to be the right timing from God, obviously. But I had listened to, I'm sure, one of the podcasts, and they were talking about phone checks. So like a coat check where you would check in a phone when you're going to like a meeting. This particular instance was like a meet and greet kind of meeting at Silicon Valley and with all these tech people, and they had an option to check in their phones. And so some people, I think a small group of people did, but they were talking about how great it was.
They got a sticker.
They got a sticker that said, device free or phone free or something. Yeah. And then so they like noticed that those people that didn't have phones or devices were actually like talking to each other versus people that still had their phones are kind of sitting on their own looking at their screens and not making any conversations with any other humans, right? So I was like, oh, wouldn't that be something kind of cool to do at church where, you know, when we come up the stairs to go to church, I'm just imagining setting up a table and I'll have a phone check-in thing and I'll just put everybody's phone and then those fancy people that have watches, because I don't, they can check that in too and put in a Ziploc bag.
You're fancy, Damon.
Oh, I have a story. I have a story about this right now when she's done, but okay. I have a story about it.
And then I will encourage people to bring their own Bibles, because I know a lot of us have Bibles on our phones, which I do too. And it's really convenient because, you know, we can have different translations and things. But then at the same time, sometimes notification pop up on our phones. And even if I don't look at the notifications, it kind of like distracts me and then makes me for couple of seconds like wonder like, oh, that person's texting me, why are they texting me, or whatever. Anyway, so my thing would be to encourage bringing a Bible, or we'll have Bibles available for people to use, or we usually have Bible verses up on the screen that Damon usually has a slide, PowerPoint slide up there.
Okay, shout out to Kristen and Garrett and Brandon and Blake because they're actually on our team now, so it's not me Woo-hoo! Every week anymore. So just want to clarify that, yes, sometimes Pastor Barry says to Damon, can you change the slide? It's not me all the time anymore. It is other people. So I want to acknowledge that too. So I'm not taking the credit for what other people are doing, because so thank you guys for being on the team. Kristen especially taking a big load off. But yes, I don't want to take credit for things that I'm not necessarily doing. But
then you are staff. So if things go wrong, it's, hey, Damon, what happened back there?
Okay.
Right?
Yes, I'm still responsible for it, but I don't want to. When they're doing it, I just want to give them their credit. So,
yeah. So thanks for the team, this slide, PowerPoint slide team. Anyway, so that's my thought is, and obviously it's if you want to, we're not going to force you. But I kind of want, it's like an experiment. I want to do it for like, I don't know, maybe 2 months or so and see what that is like for people. And I know I've heard people say like, well, how about like if they have a child or, you know, such and such. And like, yeah, I get it. But like, there's always, I don't know, people can come back and get you, find you. I don't know, maybe. If your child is having a hard time at the children's ministry side. I was talking to a parent talking about having a phone, and they got a text from their kids saying something happened and they needed help. And it wasn't anything super serious.
During service?
During service. Because anyway, so then I was thinking, but then back then when I'm not as old as Kyle, but I'm getting up there.
Hey, you're not far. Hey, hold on a second. I got to bring some truth to this. We're actually the same age right now.
I know, you're right.
We're the same age for about a month. Yep. And then I take her over again. So we're the same age right now. So.
Okay. So anyway, back in the days when, you know, when I was in high school and didn't have a cell phone.
That was a long time ago.
Yes, that was a long time ago. What would I have done if I couldn't get in touch with my parents? Like, I would have figured it out, you know? But nowadays, I was thinking, like, we give our kids these devices because we're, quote, more connected, but then we are not giving them opportunity to think critically of how to solve problems, because they'll text mom and dad and say, hey, I forgot this, or, oh, can you do this for me? And then what do we do? Most of the times, we want to help our kids, so then we'll drop whatever we're doing and then leave and help our kids, right? So then I was thinking that, like, yeah, I mean, yes, there are true emergencies that happen, but that's pretty rare. Like, there's all these what ifs I can think of, but a lot of times they're really, you know, rare. So we're taking away opportunities for our kids to think for themselves because they're so used to texting adults, maybe parents most likely, and saying, hey, I need this. Well, they can figure it out on their own. Anyway, so that's my thought about phone check-ins.
All right, Damon, what's your story?
I was like, that's two different, you went two different directions.
I know,
a little bit. I was like, wait, how did this, we started with phone check-ins and then.
Because there'll be, okay, so I'm thinking of.
Some of the reasons why people don't want to.
Yeah.
No, I get it. I just thought it was funny. Okay, so my story is that I will do the phone check-in. When I'll be the first one to do it, Mimo. So if you do it, I will turn my phone in.
And watch.
And my watch.
Okay.
Except when I'm speaking. Because when I'm speaking, there's been times where Kyle's texting me, trying to give me instructions in his role as executive pastor, saying, you need to do this or you need to do that. Like, okay, good thing I have my...
That was just during Testimony Sunday, I think, right?
Yes.
That one. And then I just, come on, man.
He's trying to text me, so my watch is buzzing, and I'm like, oh, man, what is going on? And I look at Kyle, like, what does he want?
Corner of the room, I'm like, hey.
So I'm looking at him, like, I see that it's Kyle, because I also recognize that the message is getting recorded, so I'm standing in front. I know there's a camera on me, so I'm trying to make it discreet, so I'm not... You know, like people aren't like, why is he looking at his phone? Why is he looking?
Yeah.
Exactly what Mima was talking about. Like, I mean, there's evidence, like people sitting in the congregation, there's not really evidence of them looking at their phone, right? But if I'm standing on stage, there's evidence that I'm looking at my phone. So I'm standing there and Kyle's like texting me and I look kind of like trying to discreetly look at my watch. It's like, it's Kyle. And so I look and he's standing in the corner of the room. So I look over at him. And he's like pointing at my at his watch, and then he's like, "Take your phone out." I was like, "I'm on the stage." So I try to discreetly, like, I think I took my phone out and I put it on the music stand.
Oh yeah.
So I could look at it, trying to do it quietly and so that nobody noticed it. But what he asked me to do was, it was pretty important, so it was good. But I was like, okay, if I turn in my phone, Kyle's not going to be able to do that anymore.
I was not telling him to look at the score of the Dodger game or that. It wasn't anything like that. It was actually related to the message.
It was related to the service, so it was good. But it was like, okay, if we do this phone check-in thing, he's not going to be able to do it. I guess he's going to have to figure it out.
I'm going to get out a whiteboard, and I'm going to be writing stuff and like flashing it.
I was thinking you're going to get a poster board and like write it out and hold it up like...
No, there's
Yeah. I'm just going to, he's going to start waving me down. I'm just going to like point at him. Kyle, get over here and tell us what you want.
I'm just
going to
go up there. Yeah. Whisper in your ear.
Yeah. So my whole purpose of wanting to do that is just, if people are willing and feel called to, just take away the distractions we have, at least for like, you know, a church service is only like hour and a half. And, just so that we can settle our minds and focus on Jesus. And it's really 90 minutes out of your, I don't know how many hours are in the week, but it's really not asking much to focus on the Lord. And, because sometimes it's hard to focus, just taking away that distraction for some people might be helpful. And some people might be able to do just fine with the phone too, but yeah.
Yeah. I think it highlights the attachment that our phones and technology have really into our minds and our hearts. Mm-hmm. Like when you were going over the reasons why not, it's, well, but what if my parents have an emergency? What if my kids, it's like, well, how many of those have happened in the last year? And it's like, what are the chances it actually happens during service? And not to say that that's totally irrelevant, but really it's like, as an act of obedience and faith, like, are you able to do that? Because like, I was just thinking when you went back to in high school, right? Like, and I'm like, well, what about when my high school age, when I'm in church, nobody had phones. Mm-hmm. When you were there and somebody had an emergency, like you had to get home and listen to it on your answering machine or something. Like there was just, that's just the way it was. And they wouldn't call you. They'd call 911. They'd call the police. I mean, that's still available, but it feels like we have to be there for everybody all the time, and that there's a benefit to that. But if we don't see the negative side of it, that holds our heart and our mind and our emotions captive in certain ways, then I think that phone check will be a good reality check for people of, oh shoot, how much does my device have a hold of me? And Damon's been laughing the whole time I've been talking, so I'm trying to talk longer so he can't say what he's going to say.
I don't even know if I should say what I'm going to say.
Yeah, don't do it. I don't. It's.
I can say something if you want to think about it.
Well, I know what's going through my mind, but I don't know if I should say it. So you can go.
Filter,
go ahead.
Filter, Damon, ahead. Filter.
So that brings to me, brings up, Kyle, what you're saying is about, you know how, like, I think we want to be limitless. We don't want to have limits and boundaries. We feel like we should be able to do everything. Like, you know, like we tell our kids, if you put your mind to it, you can do anything you want. Well, I'm only 5 foot and 0 inches. Like, I'm not going to be a WNBA player, right? Like, and then I get the encouragement we want to have for our children, but like if we keep going with that mindset of like everything's limitless, like we can do anything we want, sometimes we feel like Kyle, what you said, we feel like we should be everywhere and do everything, where like God has placed limits in our capacities. We're human, like we're not God, but that's like what Adam and Eve, like, mm-hmm. they wanted to be like God, mm-hmm. right? So like that's what kind of, in the big picture, that's kind of related to, like, we want to be like God, and we want to be able to do everything, know everything, have everything at our fingertips in a flash of a second. But that's not where we're meant to be.
That's what technology, like offers us.
Yeah.
It kind of gives us that enticement. And then this is a subject for a different time, but that's really like going into AI, mm-hmm. and really AI then becomes a form of God that's in our pocket or with us. And yeah, there's a lot of different ways that goes, but yeah, that temptation's been around since the very beginning,
yeah.
of,
we want to be like God,
like God, and
yeah.
limitless, available to everybody, which certain aspects are good,
right?
But we're not meant to operate that way. Okay. Damon's not smiling anymore. So I think he filtered it out. Good job, Damon.
Yes, I did filter it out. But, you know, when it comes to limits, I think that's another thing that stood out from, I don't know if it was from the retreat, but from other times when Pastor Sam has spoken that have resonated with me, was he's talked about how when the Lord says, or when David says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me, right? And so, right, we think of like the staff as something that a shepherd uses to lead his sheep, but then the rod is actually usually for correction, or if we're not doing something. And And Pastor Sam was talking about how the rod comforts you. Like, that's not something that we normally associate, but really it's those boundaries should comfort us, because the Lord will not let us go outside of those bound, or doesn't want us to go outside of those boundaries, because it's to our detriment. And it's his heart for us to stay in line with his will, because he knows what's best for us. And so the rod is there to keep us in on that path.
I was thinking like protecting us, really, right?
Yeah. Healthy boundaries. When we were raising our kids, I remember reading about that and being kind of taught that, that children need boundaries. They want, they actually want it. And then different personalities push up against it and try to see if they're going to stay consistent, see if they're going to change. And some really operate really easily within the boundaries, but that's the way we're designed. We want to have those boundaries. And sometimes we push and we need the correction side of it because we've gone too far, but really those do bring comfort.
All right, so as we're wrapping up this episode, Mimo, do you have any closing thoughts for us that you want us to wrap up with?
Oh, I think there is a possibility that Pastor Barry's bringing the Mini Habits class back.
Yeah, right? I think we'll announce next week. It looks like it's likely, and we'll be having some Kingdom classes starting in October, so be on the lookout for that. But I think most likely, but not definitive yet.
So, yeah, I think I want to encourage people to just take opportunities for those classes because, yeah, they're going to be helping us, I think, just with strengthening our, maybe strengthening is not the right word, but aligning our will. Yeah, shaping us to be more aligned with God. So, yeah.
I think strengthening is an appropriate word because I think when we have an abandoned will,
for that
it does
one,
need
for
be
sure.
It does need to be strengthened, right?
But so, what about the overfunctioning? Do you think?
I think for the overfunctioning, then we need to learn how to submit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess submitting to, like, so it's easy for me to have this nudging from God and like kind of ignore it or make excuses, but really, like, for me, it would be really spending time with God and asking God about it. So like creating space, I encourage people to create space for God. Like, we are too busy oftentimes. So just think of something you can put away from your schedule. Maybe it's just not as important as you think it is. And swap that time with spending time with God.
I thought it was funny because you said submit and then you said it's easy. It's like, oh, this is very different from you, Mimo. Usually that word's triggering for you.
I've been better the last several years.
That was a different season. Yeah.
I've been better.
I think for me in closing, if there's anybody, I'll do some recruiting for you, Mimo. If there's anybody that was intrigued by the phone check and you want to partner with Mimo to do that, whenever that happens and gets launched, I'm pretty sure it will happen at some point. But reach out to her because I think it would be really a really eye-opening experience and part of this body, soul, spirit discussion we've been having to get people to realize where their alignment is in those different areas.
I agree. All right. Well, thanks again, Mimo, for coming on. We always appreciate having you on and taking the time out of your busy schedule to come join us for a conversation on the podcast. So thanks again.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks for all the listeners out there. We appreciate you guys too. And until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.